Hello there, and welcome to episode 186 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean, and I'll be your host as we try and discover the most useless yet interesting fact known to mankind. Today we are continuing Ghost Story Week by actually taking a little bit of a departure. I met up with Ash again, and he is, of course, an expert in horror films, so he decided to share a few facts about George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. We talked earlier over Skype.
It's the story of, you know, people in a Pennsylvania farmhouse who are being assaulted by zombies. It's the first
real zombie movie, right?
Yes, this is the first real. I mean, there had been zombies in other movies, but all they did
they were good.
they were kind of like they were more in line with what the traditional voodoo slash Caribbean beliefs of zombies were. There was like white zombie where they were slaves in like a sugar mine, you know, and it's more in line.
A movie called Revenge of the Zombies I saw a couple years ago. I think actually, first time I emailed you guys, I think I recommended it. But
yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
It takes place in, I don't know, Thailand or something. It's made in like the 1910s, and so the bad guy is so clear. He's dressed in like this Cardinal Richelieu cardinal top hat with the giant mustache that I'm not evil, and it's just like that. It's a hypnotism combined induced by chemicals of some sort.
It was never, you know, that was more of the, you know, chemical, like, oh, I've turned you into a zombie, whereas, you know, white zombie and other things, like, some of them really were, you know, animated dead people, but like they weren't like brains. They just were kind of like, huh. They were just like these hunks that did nothing. They were just these big lumps. But, Night of the Living Dead was the first one to ever make them flesh eaters, because the original title for Night of the Living Dead was Night of the Flesh Eaters. Mm. And it turns out that they couldn't use that name because it was actually the name of, I want to say, a novel or something. But there was actually a copyrighted thing called Night of the Flesh Eaters. And before that, it was going to be called Night of Anubis, in reference to the Egyptian god of the dead, Anubis. But yes, it was the first. In the idea of a reanimated body that wants to feed on the living, yes, that was that. This is Genesis for that whole movement. Yeah. So that was unheard of at the time. And you know, there is a scene in the movie where two of the characters are killed. I'm not going to say who, because, you know, even though it's almost approaching like 45 to 50 years old, it is still an unbelievable movie that everyone should see. They're devoured by the zombies. It's not, you do see zombies eating people, only you see them eating pieces. And it, like, you gotta understand, like, this was shocking at the time when it came out. And that's the reason it stayed in the drive-thru for so long. But like, there was just basic food. Like, there was a raw liver and, you know, so just kind of chewed it and that was it. And then there was a mannequin's hand that had Play-Doh on it, like a layer of Play-Doh to make it look like flesh, and one of the actors just kind of, you know, took a couple little nibbles. You know, it's not graphic at all. The most graphic thing, I think, in it was two of the zombies are fighting over a pair of intestines, and they just kind of like are like clawing at each other, and like eventually the intestine splits. And this, you know, gun comes out and they just start eating. And that's all it was. It was just actors taking slaughterhouse parts and putting them up to their mouths and pretending to eat them. And people went ballistic. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying, like, this is, you know, it's disgusting. It actually promotes cannibalism. And so
yes, because that's what I think when I see this. That looks delicious. Let me go do that.
Yeah, that's what I love about that kind of argument. Like, I was like, that video game promotes violence among children. I'm like, dude, if I can walk out and like shoot an ice ball out of my hand and shatter my friend, like, I deserve to do it. You know, that's what I love. Is like, the kids are going to imitate this. I'm like, how in God's name are they going to, are they going to get superpowers when you're not looking? But that was basically, they were just freaking out about it. And the story is, the producer came out of the farmhouse that it was set in one day, because it was almost done. You can think of this production like the production of The Evil Dead, for anybody who's more familiar with it. It was in a cabin in a very remote place, and they almost had to live there. So the producer comes out one day, and he's just waking up in the morning, and he's stretching, and he looks over, and sitting on the porch is one of the prop guys, and he's taking a Coke bottle full of water, and he's pouring it into one of the sheep intestines to keep it lively. for, you know, so it wouldn't dry out. And, you know, basically it had to look fresh when they used it on the set. So he's literally trying to fill up intestines like you would fill up a water balloon. And he's trying to, like, pinch it off. And he looks over at the producer. And he says something like, they're going to look great. And he just, like, turned around and was like, oh, my God. It was one of those moments where, you know, it was just one of those moments where it was like, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? So, you know, it really is a story that's loaded with really interesting little tidbits. And I got one more that I can throw at you really quick. At one point in the movie, the characters take a chair from the farmhouse's living room and set it on fire and kick it out the back door. Because in this original, you know, flesh-eating zombie mythos, they are afraid of fire. Like, but they won't, like, go, ah, fire bad, you know, but they will... you know, shy away from it. It scares them. And that was also done again in the first remake in 1990. So the purpose was that they were going to almost build like a wall of get back, get back. And it works. The zombies shy away. But they had to immediately, as soon as the take was over, because this is, remember, independent filmmaking, they had to run over and put the chair out as quick as they could. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like it can't burn too much because we got, you know, yeah, make it count. So they would do that, and one time, one of the – for the life of me, I don't remember who. I remember the story. I just don't remember who it happened to. One of the people on set went to fill the chair with lighter fluid for another take. Just, you know, spray it down good so that when it lights, it will immediately go up, and as soon as he's out, they can shoot. Well, it turns out that the inside interior of the chair – because you remember, this is the 60s. It was sheer metal.
Oh, boy.
So the frame in the center was burning hot. And even though the chair was not smoking or flaming, it still had in its center, you know, of like almost like a red-hot poker. And he said as soon as he started spraying, it was a little water. It said, went right up the stream and hit his hand, and it exploded.
Oh.
And it, like, it was a sort of thing where, like, it was on fire. Like, his arm caught on fire and part of his sweater did. And he starts running, and one of the zombies saw it, and he just booked. He said he just went to just tackle him because the guy panicked, and he knew he wasn't – if he didn't get to him right then, the burn was going to spread, and he was going to be really, really hurt. So he just took off like a bat out of hell and just tackled him and just started smiling. So, like, they always just tell the story, like, the zombie saved this guy's life. And, you know, it looked like one of those things. They almost wished you could have seen it from their eyes, that this guy dressed as a zombie is just –
yeah.
Charging towards this guy.
Rah!
Yeah, it really did look like he was going to kill him.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 186 of the Daily Brainwave. You can find Ash every couple weeks along with his other hosts on the SMN podcast at smnpodcast.com. Make sure you tune in tomorrow as we continue Ghost Story Week by talking about the ghost of Disney World.